Well, as I mentioned earlier, our first speaker tonight is Brother Fraser Young. He's been a dear friend to me and to our church for many, many years, and we're glad that he's here with us tonight. And so, Brother Young, if you could come and preach the Word of God. Thanks.
I don't know whether, is that right? All good? I haven't messed up this time. Good. Cool. Hey, the plastic pulpit is gone. It's morphed into a timber pulpit. Wow, I could almost stand on this one. That is good. I'm not going to, but that is really cool. not that I didn't like the plastic one, but you can hide behind here, you know. You can hide and... and so on. thank you, Pastor, for the invitation to come. And am I supposed to speak through this one as well? So I can do that. Down. Right. good. forgot what I was saying. It's good to have Robin here with me on this particular fairly short trip to Queensland. I think this is the fourth church in this particular short trip up to the land of bananas and pineapples. it's good to be here. And I'll most probably, might share a little bit more Sunday night about what the Lord's doing in our lives, but I don't want to take our brothers, to take too much time for our Kiwi brother. He's to follow us here. So, I want to get to my message tonight. So if you've got your Bibles, please, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I think this outline will be more of a talk than a sermon. Am I allowed to do that? I suppose. You never know. You never know when I've got such a scrappy outline. You never know what's going to happen. But the Lord has spoken to my heart and my mind over recent days as I was preparing this outline, and I trust he'll speak to yours too. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And will you follow if as I read from verse 1 down to verse 9? And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. For we are labourers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. I want to speak from this passage tonight for a few minutes at least on is your missions, are your missions in shape or the shape of the missionary program? And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day. Thank you for the Lord's people who've come out on a Friday night to enjoy the fellowship, but Lord, also to hear from the Word of God and to hear from you, Lord. Please, I pray that you'll speak to every heart this evening. It just may be, Lord, that there's some young man or young lady here this evening, Lord, and you are working in their lives. And I pray that this weekend that they would find guidance and direction regarding being a missionary for the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that, Lord, you'll fill me with the Holy Spirit, and we, because without his filling, not much will come of the message. So please, Lord, answer our prayer this evening. We pray believing, and we'll give you thanks in advance, Lord, knowing that you will answer this prayer. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oftentimes the churches, you call it a missions program or whatever, sometimes it gets a bit out of shape. I know the church at Corinth here was way out of shape, not just on this, but on so many areas. They were out of shape. It reminds me of a certain football team at the moment that's out of shape and just all over the place. But this was the church at Corinth. They were all over the place, out of shape. And so under inspiration, the Lord gave this first letter to Corinthians, the first letter here, through the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth to correct many errors in the church at that time. And evidently there was some division. In fact, not evidently, there was division in the church. We read about that in the first few chapters here of the letter to the Corinthians. And there was division because they were a bunch of carnal Christians. They were babies in Christ. They'd never grown. They'd never matured. And they were sort of taking sides. And there was a certain part of the church said, well, I don't know about you fellas, but I follow Paul. And someone else said, well, who he to you? I follow Apollos. And then in the earlier chapters, someone says, well, we follow Jesus, you know, holier than thou. And so Paul here is trying to correct them and say, this is not how things are supposed to happen. Three quick points this evening. Here's the first point. The simplicity of missionary service. The simplicity of missionary service. Paul was a missionary. Obviously, he was an apostle as well. Apollos was a missionary and so on. We're all supposed to be missionaries in our own way. But here's the simplicity of missionary service. Verse number 5. Paul says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But what have I done here? but ministers. Now that word ministers there is the word diakonos. Diakonos. Paul says, listen, you can put someone up on a pedestal here and someone up on a pedestal there. But he said, the truth be known, we're all just diakonos. We're all just servants. That's what a diakonos is, a deacon, a servant. We are all just ministers of the Lord. Was Paul smart? Yes, he was very smart. Was Apollos eloquent? Yes, the Bible says he was a very eloquent orator. Was Paul persuasive? Yes, he was. He says in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He were all those things. They were smart cookies. But when it all boiled down, they were servants. They were ministers. And that's what a missionary is. A minister is a servant. In fact, we're all supposed to be servants. What is a pastor? What is an evangelist? What is a missionary? We're servants. We're servants. There's nothing more than that. Paul said, I'm just a servant. Paul is a servant. Apollos is a servant. That's all we are. And by the way, I'll throw this little bit in here. In the Bible, there were no Baptist popes, okay? There were no Baptist politicians. There were no Baptist policemen. Okay, none of those things are not in the Bible. Now, we have a few of them around today, but that's not in the Bible, okay? No, we are just servants. We glorify the Lord, not the man. We acknowledge the man. We acknowledge the man. We acknowledge the servants of the Lord. But we give the glory to God. I might get in trouble for saying this. I most probably will. I'll say it anyway. I'm not big on numbers. Now, I know the Bible is a book of numbers. You know, on the day of Pentecost, there were thousands saved and so on. But I'm not, you read some prayer letters and missionary letters and we had so many saved and so on. And it's wonderful when the Lord is working. We rejoice in that. But the truth being, I don't know whether someone can make a decision. I don't know whether they're saved. They've made a decision, and I hope they are, and we need to, you know, nurture them as a babe in Christ, and there are some pretty spectacular conversions, but oftentimes we don't know how that person's going to... We just got to be careful that we give glory to God and not to the man. That's what I'm trying to say. We had four adults come down the aisle Sunday night up in Tanham, the church there. It was an amazing service. In fact, one fellow is in his early 40s. We've been praying for him. I'd known him for a few years, praying for him for a number of years. And he just about ran down the aisle, gave me a big hug. He wanted to get saved. He really did. And I think he got a good dose of it, as the old timers used to say. Praise the Lord for that. Now, I don't know whether... I can't see someone's heart. But I thank the Lord for that. You say, well, you must be a great preacher. No, I was just there at the time, just preaching the gospel. You know, that's the preaching of the cross. That's what it is. But we're just, when it all boils down, we are just servants. Don't turn there. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 18 says, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. All that matters is that we are approved by God. That's all that matters. So don't worry if you're not a big shot. Don't worry if you're not, you're not famous. Don't worry if you're not well known. That doesn't matter. Just serve the Lord. The Lord will commend you. The Lord will approve you. And we'll see how to do that here in just a moment. We need to keep the missionary, this whole concept of getting the gospel out to, whether it's, Judea, Jerusalem, or Judea, or Samaria, or the uttermost part of the world. We need to keep it simple. Secondly, there's the sequence of missionary service. Look at verse number 6. Paul goes on, and again, he keeps this really simple. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So this is the sequence in reaching souls for Christ. The first thing, obviously, is planting, sowing the seed. And all Christians are supposed to be sowing the seed, however we can. But that's the first, we've got to sow the seed. And evidently, Paul was very good at planting. He was good at sowing. He was good at sowing the seed. Don't turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 16, he talks about going into the regions beyond. He says, I want to go to places where no one else has been. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't go where someone else has been, but that was Paul. He said, I want to go and plant the word of God in that fertile soil where no one else, where they've never heard the gospel. That's what Paul did. How did he do that? How was he a planter? Keep a bookmark there. Come over to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And this is what Paul did over and over again. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preached unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, not a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. So they went to Thessalonica. Then they went to Berea, and then they went to Athens. Down here at the where are we? Verse 32. This is at Athens. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed. So this was how Paul did his. Sowing. He was a planter. He was a sower. He was very good at, he was most probably good at all this stuff, but he was very good at planting seed where it hadn't been planted before. That's what Paul did. And he would, generally speaking, go into a town or a city, and he'd go, first of all, he would go to the synagogue. And normally when they kicked him out or tried to kill him, then he'd go to the Gentiles. That was Paul. He was a great sower. You know, we are all to be sowers. We are all to be sowers. If you want to be a missionary somewhere, you need to be a sower right now. You need to be a sower right now. You need to be practicing that right now. You say, how do I sow? Well, you ever heard of a gospel tract? You ever heard of talking? Talking with your mouth, like words. You ever heard of inviting people to church? You know, you ever heard of that? That's sowing the seed. And there's all different ways we can sow the seed. But we all need to play. I'm surprised at how many Christians never give out a gospel tract. Like, it's not hard. It's not that hard, really. It's not, you know, it's not hard to take it out of your pocket or ladies out of your purse or whatever and actually offer it to someone. And by the way, little bit of practical stuff here. I don't say, would you like? I never say, would you like something here? I just give it to them. I just say, this is for you. And generally speaking, 9 times out of 10, they will take a gospel tract. Don't give them the option, just give it to them. You know, that's a freebie, that one. Planting. Paul was a planter. He was a sower. And by the way, the Bible says in Galatians 6, we will reap according to how we sow. If we sow much and we don't faint, we'll reap much. And isn't it amazing how God keeps his word? I was, we've just come back from a UK trip. And a few weeks ago, we were in York. Now, York's an amazing city. There's a wall that goes right around. It's only a little place. It's not that big. But there was 15 of us out doing open-air work. And York, from what I understand, York is the second most visited city in England after, maybe third. In England, Edinburgh, Scotland, yeah. It's up north. I think it's the second most visited city in England is York. And on a Saturday round about midday, there were just literally thousands of people everywhere. It's amazing how many people were there. And so we were doing some bit of preaching and then, of course, just witnessing on the streets, just waiting to talk to people. And do most people walk past? Yeah, most people walk past. But some people with searching hearts will stop and talk to you. And so we did this for a number of hours until Robin sort of almost froze to death. It was cold. But we just gave out the seed. We just gave out the seed and we just kept preaching and we kept giving out tracts and we engaged in conversation with so many people. You say, did anyone get saved? Not that I know of. But the amazing thing is next day at church we had 4 visitors come. Now that doesn't, and I don't know if they came directly from from the open air ministry, but that's how it happens. You ever notice that? You sow the seed, God brings people in. God brings people in. We just need to keep sowing the seed. Okay, planting is the first thing. Second thing is this, there's watering. Now Apollos was good at watering. Paul was a planter, Apollos was a watering. He was good at watering. Well, what did he do? Acts chapter 18. Here's this chap called Apollos. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Now we'll cut down here a little bit. Priscilla and Aquila corrected him a little bit on a few things. Look at verse 28. This is how Apollos watered. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So he, whatever watering means, Apollos was good at it. He was able to get with those that had already maybe received the seed, and he was able to reason with them because he knew the scriptures. He knew the Old Testament scriptures. He was able to reason with them, and I would dare to say, answer their questions. And just hang around with them. I don't know if I'm very good at watering. Some people they're very timid when it comes to the planting side of it, and a lot of people are, but they're good at watering. When someone comes to church or when they make that contact, they're very good at inviting them around for a meal or going out and having a coffee with them or trying to answer their questions and praying for them and building a friendship, building a relationship with them. That's all the watering part of it. And we need waterers as well as planters. And so I don't think I'm very good at the watering side of it. But some of you are. So maybe you will be a waterer, if there is such a word. But here's the third part of the sequence of missionary service. First part is planting, second part is watering, the third part is the increase. And we read that there in verse 6 again. It is God that giveth the increase. God that giveth the increase. You know, the miraculous part is God's doing. The miraculous part is God's doing. You know, the germinating seed is a miracle. You know, the fact that you had a piece of toast this morning, that's a miracle. That is a miracle. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat, or the word corn there means a seed or a little grain, except that falls into the ground and dies, it's not going to come up into the plant. So every time a little plant grows, it's actually a miracle. If God, you know, Colossians 1 says that Jesus is before all things and by him all things consist. If it wasn't for Jesus, this whole universe would just disintegrate. And the fact that you had your toast and Vegemite this morning, toast and Marmite, brother, sorry. You had your toast and Vegemite this morning. The fact is that that bread comes from wheat, which comes from a seed that went in the ground and died and somehow germinated. That's a miracle. Like the conception of a human being. It's a miracle. It's something that only God can do. And just like when the seed of the Word of God goes into someone's life, you know, like the sower sows the seed, which is the Word of God, it takes a miracle for that to come to life. God does the miraculous part. And God has to do that part. That's why I'm always careful with numbers, because I want to make sure that God gets the glory. With whatever goes on, it's God's work. We've got to do our bit, but it's God that gives the increase. Evidently, the story goes something like this. D.L. Moody was walking in Chicago with a friend one day, with a man from one of the churches there. And there was this, what do they call it, a bum. A street fellow out on the street here. And the fellow said to D.L. Moody, "Isn't that one of your converts?" And D.L. Moody said, "Yes, unfortunately, it was one of mine, but not one of God's." God has to do the work. And isn't it, you know what I love? I love it when God turns up. Oh, don't you like, you go to a church meeting and God turns up? And now I know God's everywhere. A silly thing to say, maybe. And God's everywhere. We understand that. And if you're saved, then God, the Spirit of God, lives in you. But sometimes God just turns up in a church meeting and just does some wonderful things. August 22, we were just coming out of COVID. And I booked a short trip to New Zealand, great land. And I've done 31 trips, brother, to New Zealand. Worn a bit of a track over there. But this is just coming out of COVID, and you know the airlines were, Qantas was real, still not that good, but they're better than what they were. It was just, we're having a combined church meeting in Blenheim, and then flying up to Auckland for just one day and then home again. Just a really short trip, just to see a few of the pastors. So I get down to the airport at Coffs, for the 6:30 flight, and then to go to Sydney, and then to Wellington, and then Wellington to Blenheim. Flight is cancelled. Okay, all right. So I ring the pastor in Blenheim. Say, "Ben, sorry mate, I can't get there. The flights are cancelled." And we had a couple of churches. We're having some meetings there. So I'm really sorry. Can we try again tomorrow night? He said, "All right, we'll try for Saturday night." So we move the flight to Saturday night and get on the 6:30 flight, get down to Sydney, okay. I'm sitting in Qantas Club drinking coffee. Flight's delayed 4 hours. So that means then, by the time I got to Wellington, I missed the flight to the South Island. So I remember ringing Robin. I was getting a little bit sick of things. It shouldn't, I know, but I was. And I rang Rob and I said, "Rob, what is the point of me going? There's no point. I'll just Scrap it. We'll try again next year. If you've got a spiritual wife, fellas, thank the Lord, okay? Thank the Lord for a spiritual wife. Robin said to me, you need to go. Even if it's one meeting, you need to go. God wants you there. I said, okay. So I went in, missed my flight, had to get a motel near the airport in Wellington. Finally got to Blenheim in the afternoon, Sunday afternoon. And all the other churches had gone home again for their services on the Sunday. We had a very small meeting and then flew up to Auckland to Calvary Bible Baptist Church there. Maybe 12, 15 people in church, maybe 16 people. And I forget what I was preaching on that morning, but four people came to the Lord that morning. Amen. Solid salvation decisions came to the Lord. And we were just rejoicing, just a little church. You say, what did you preach on? I can't remember what I preached on. It most probably wasn't much of a sermon, but I don't remember. But anyway, I got home. Tim calls me the week later, says, brother, another two people made salvation decisions at church today. Calls me a month later and says, we're having baptisms now. All these people are getting baptized. And within a few months, the church just fills up. You say, man, you must be some preacher. No. It's just sometimes that God turns up. Because, see, God gives the increase. I'm just like Balaam's donkey. Well, that's what I feel like sometimes, Balaam's donkey. But God can use a donkey if he wants to. That's not the end of the story, brother. I think it was December past, just a few months ago. Pastor Tim calls me and said, hey, brother, you remember that meeting back in August last year? I said, oh, yeah. He said there was a young lady in church that day. She was 16 years old. She was there with her dad. And no one else knew this, but she was pregnant. And she was planning to kill that baby that coming week. But she said, something you said in your sermon convicted her. God got hold of her. To this day, I don't remember what... I wasn't preaching on abortion that day. I don't remember what I was preaching on. But Tim said that this lady said, something that preacher said, I had to keep this baby. Well, a few months down the track, she comes to the Lord and is wonderfully saved. And when the pastor rang me last December, just a few months ago, he said, yeah, she's in church today and she's got a little 6-7-month-old baby with her. Isn't that what a story? I don't know. If that doesn't do anything to you, that's fine. To me, I'm just glad when God turns up. I'm glad when God gives the increase. Hey, you know what we need to do? We just need to keep planting. We need to keep watering. If you're good at planting, all right, do your planting. If you're good at watering, all right, do watering. And then pray for God to do his bit, and he will. He will. That's what missions work is all about. Planting, watering, God giving the increase. That's what it's all about. We're just the greatest of us. Now, I understand there's the office of the pastor. I understand that. We must respect that. And we respect the office of, well, we don't have apostles anymore, but teachers and preachers and evangelists and so on. There's that office. And missionaries, wonderful. But God has to do the work. Okay, lastly, the secret of missionary service. The simplicity is that we are just ministers. We are diakonos. We are servants. The sequence is planting, watering. God gives the increase. Lastly, here's the secret of missionary service. Verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now get that statement there. Yeah. We are laborers together with God. God does not have to use us, but God chooses to labor with us. I find that amazing. God doesn't have to use us. He doesn't have to do that, but he does. He says, I'm going to be your co-laborer. And by the way, he says laborer. You know what labor means? Young fellas, labor means to work, okay? It actually means to work. So missionary work, whether it's here in the local church or whether it's overseas, it's actually hard work. And that's what it's supposed to be. We are to labour with the Lord. The good thing is that we are not alone in the work. We are partners in the ministry. Now, we are the junior partner. I know that. We are junior partners. Sometimes when I just spend... this is our 34th year in full-time ministry. I've been preaching since 1980. That's 44 years. But I've been full-time ministry for 34 years. And you say, well, I suppose you get used to it. The travel actually becomes harder every year because I'm getting older. Now, I know I'm not old. Max Griffith is not old. So I'm not old. But older. It does get harder. And in almost every week of my life, I'm somewhere else travelling. And sometimes you get a bit tired and sometimes you get... What's the word? You get the conniptions, is that it? But I have to keep realising that, hang on, I'm in partnership with God. I'm just the junior partner here. The Lord is the senior partner, and that's the good part there. You know what I need to do? I just need to wait on God. I just need to wait on God. He's the one that's pulling me through this. I'm in the yoke with Jesus, but Jesus is doing most of the pulling there. The secret of missionary service is labouring with God. And that means to wait on God, because God has to do it. God has to give the increase. I could stand here. I'm not. I'm just about done. I could stand here and tell you a lot about our trip to the UK from last month. But the second half of the trip, we visited five churches in the Crown Heritage Trust group of churches. New church plants. It's to cut the story short. It's a miracle what God is doing in England. It really is. 2006, a group of men went over and wanted to start some churches in England. Keen young men from Tennessee and other parts of the States. And so what they did was they just started praying. And they started praying and they said, we need a building. Someone came up to them and again, cutting, there's more details to it, but someone came up to them and said, we've got a building we'd like to give you. I've actually got a picture on the phone of this. You've got to see this building. It's maybe half the size of this building. I don't know, how old's Beaches Road? It's a couple of hundred years old. Everything's timber. It's like it's got a mezzanine. It's got a full pipe organ. Serious. The pulpit is as high as that, you know, high as the roof here. They don't actually go up in that pulpit. They use a lower pulpit. But they've got this incredible building in the city of Birmingham. God just gave it to them. 2006, they started a church there. And then I think a year or so later, they went to Oxford. Someone gave them a church building in Oxford, of all places. The seat of learning for the whole world, Oxford, gave them a church building. They've now outgrown that. They're meeting in a tent out in a lot, a muddy lot by the freeway. And when I say muddy, you walk, they've got that artificial grass under the tent and you squelch when you walk in there. They've got these, you know, those big gas heaters. They're like a jet engine going off. They've got them down the back. They've got a generator. Like, it's just crazy. You've got 200 people in this tent. God's just blessing this. And then now they're just starting their 10th church. And this one is in Wales. And I was speaking to one of the head fellows there. We spent a half day with Brother Levi there. And we were asking him. I said, well, listen, he's been there for most of that time. I said, well, brother, what sort of plan did you have? How did you plan this out? What sort of, you know, how did you, you've obviously got a, you know, a 5-step or 10-step missionary plan to do all this stuff. He said, no, we don't have any plan. We just wait on God. And we pray, sometimes for months, we just pray until the answer comes. He says, we don't actually have an intricate plan of ministry. We just know this is where God wants us. And this is an incredible mission field, as Pastor was saying before. From the land that used to send out all the missionaries, it's now a mission field in itself. And God does it. They've actually started a church now in the Netherlands. They've got young people from the Netherlands going to the college that they've started. They've now started a church in Zimbabwe. Just a couple of months ago, there's an older couple in Zimbabwe. They ran a 2,500-acre, like a game ranch in Zimbabwe, literally just a mile or so from Victoria Falls. And they weren't saved, but somehow they got onto watching Oxford Baptist Church, Oxford Baptist Chapel online on YouTube. They both got saved. And they grew a bit in the Lord, and now they've retired, and they contacted the pastor there and said, look, we're retired now, and we'd like to give you this property if you could come and start a church in Zimbabwe, 2,500 acres. That's how God does things. You say, but that's miraculous. It is. It's the miraculous work of God. God gives the increase. Now, I say that to say, well, if God can do it in Zimbabwe and God could do it in Netherlands and God could do it in the old country, do you reckon he can do it here? I reckon he can. I reckon he can. I reckon if we keep planting, keep watering, God gives us the increase. And then I reckon if we partner with the Lord and say, we understand that the job is, it's too big for us. We understand the circumstances of Australia. We're a heathen country. We're a godless country. People have no time for the gospel. Hey, that's great opportunity for the gospel. Because we're going to partner with the Lord. It's the Lord's building. It's the Lord's husbandry. We're just the junior partners with God. I am so excited for this conference. I tell you, I was speaking to Pastor at lunch today. This is, if the Lord gives me, I don't know how long I've got on planet Earth, and I don't know when the trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to go to be with the Lord. But I tell you, you know what I want to do the rest of my life? I just want to do my bit, whatever that is, in seeing churches planted in this country. I really do. That's what we need. Should we have overseas missions? Yeah, of course we should. If God sends you overseas, that's fine. Do it. Let's support them. But the truth is, the mission field has come to Australia now. I think last year, almost 1 million migrants came to Australia. Almost 1 million. That's a lot of people. And, you know, we think, oh, well, we're just going to get, what are all these people? Leave the politics out of it. These people need the Lord. Without Jesus, they're going to burn in hell forever. What an opportunity to get involved with God's program of preaching the gospel, planting, watering. God gives the increase. And as Paul did, we go and start some churches. Now, I know most of us are not going to go and start churches, but we can all play our part in that. And I think that's what this weekend is all about. That's what it's all about. I've got more to say, but I want to close here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the story of the account of Paul and Apollos and how you used them, and for those you are using today, Lord, on planet Earth. Dear Lord, I pray that this weekend you will, Lord, touch some heart. Touch some young lady, touch some young man, maybe an older man, an older lady, maybe a married couple, whatever, Lord, touch their hearts, Father, regarding this vital business of missions. Speak to our hearts as the weekend unfolds. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.